This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with George Allman. We're here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Morning, George.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Today is December 7th. Pearl Harbor Day. Yeah.
A day which will live in infamy.
It will. You know, I was looking before the show. I looked it up, and as of April of this year, there were only 19 survivors left. It's mind-boggling. I know all of the survivors of Arizona have passed away.
Correct.
At this point. Yep. The Pearl Harbor Survivors Association here in San Diego used to meet at the Maritime Museum on December 7th every year, and we would host a coffee and donuts reception for them, and went to a few of those back. I think it transferred over to Midway after that ship came to town.
2004.
Yeah, but I attended a number of those meetups, and amazing people. Absolutely amazing people. And to listen to them, to listen to their stories and talk about what happened, it was very moving.
The greatest generation appropriately.
Yeah, it really was. Let's see, some of the things that are going on. Both of our stores are dark until 2025. January, the classes will pick up again in both stores.
January 4th.
Let's see, in Balboa Park, it's the last night of December nights, opened last night. And I believe the Botanical Building is going to be open tonight as well, or open today as well.
If I remember correctly, that is correct. Yeah.
So December 9th is from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And it's all through Balboa Park. So my advice would be to get transportation down there rather than try to drive down yourself.
Or go at 5 a.m.
Yeah, that would work. That would work as well. Let's see. Jungle Bells is going on at the zoo still. So if you haven't been there to check that out, I would highly recommend that. It's a very nice, very nice way to spend an evening at the zoo. And evening at the zoo is something that doesn't pop up all the time. So that's a nice thing to do. Also, Lightscape at the San Diego Botanical Garden up in Encinitas. Not to be confused with the Botanical Building.
Correct. Different locations, opposite ends of the county.
Yeah. In Balboa Park. And you know, it's funny because the organization that follows the stuff that's going on in Balboa Park is the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation, but it has nothing to do with
the
Botanical Garden. So you've got to keep those two things straight. If you'd like to ask us a question, if you have a suggestion for the show, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com, and that's A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N. Or you can also reach out through our Facebook page, which is Garden Talk Radio, brought to you by Walter Anderson Nursery on Facebook. And you do cross-post a lot of information on the Facebook page.
We do.
As well.
We cross pollinate from the, to use our gardening term, from the Garden Talk Radio to our regular Walter Anderson Nursery main page. But the main page has all of the sales or new items that have come in recently, things like that. The Garden Talk is primarily the Garden Talk stuff, like mm-hmm. Wednesday Wisdoms.
You know, we're getting into December now, so bare root season is starting to kick off. Our fruit trees are due the last week of December, I believe it is.
Weather permitting. Last several years since I've been here, we've always had the first batch out, usually the weekend of the first of the year.
Yeah,
that first weekend.
Yeah, pay attention to the nursery's Facebook page, Walter Anderson Nursery, Maine, and we'll have that information when the trees are available. If you want to see what's coming in, either in roses or fruit trees, you can go to walteranderson.com. And look up under plant lists, and both of the lists are posted for what we have coming in.
That said, we did receive a lot of sleeves, plant fruit trees that have come in.
Yeah, there's stuff that's already
weeks ago.
Some stuff that's already here.
But those are not bare roots.
But those are not the bare roots. They come from the same nursery, but they're
correct.
But they are not bare roots. And since we're talking about bare roots today, we have a special guest on the show today. One of our staff, Adams Bruderer from our Poway store, who is in charge of ordering all of the bare root fruit trees that we have, and also has taken over ordering of all of our citrus crops. Good morning, Adams. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, George. It's great to be on here this morning, and good morning, everyone out there. We are expecting a lot this year in our bare root trees, and we have probably one of the best selections of citrus right now that I've seen since I've been here.
Yeah, it's kind of turned around finally. The pandemic really threw a wrench into the citrus industry in at least in Southern California. I would imagine it's throughout the rest of the state. When people started into that grow your own, they were buying stuff as fast as we could bring it in, and it was faster than the growers could produce it. So it was really, really spotty for a long time.
Well, on top of that was HLB, right? Huanglongbing, citrus greening disease, which impacted the growers on how they grew in quarantine, et cetera, and everything had to be inspected. So it took a lot of the growers out of the business. They decided they weren't.
That's true. Yeah, there was
supply and demand changed dramatically.
There was a big grower up in North County that got sucked into one of the quarantine zones by no fault of their own, and they had thousands of trees that they could not sell could not move off site.
So fewer suppliers means and a higher demand means less product
and unfortunately somewhat higher prices from time to time as well. We've gotten some new citrus, I think you had said, that we hadn't had before.
We've gotten some limequats in. We've only rarely had those in the past. They're a great hybrid between a lime and a kumquat. Mm-hmm. And what they produce for up to 7 months out of the year. I got one a couple years ago, and it's been continuously flowering almost, and it's been a very long producer for me.
And you live in a colder part of the town.
I live up in Ramona. I get a lot of frost, which is why I went with the limequat. It's nearly as cold hardy as the kumquats. It'll actually survive temperatures down into the lower 20s.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, what do you use the fruit for?
Anything I use limes for, I especially like them with tacos or something like that.
Really? They're pretty tart, fairly tart then?
They're very tart. They taste just like a lime on the inside. They're not super juicy because they are small. They have a few seeds, but I usually slice them up and put them on just about anything, as you can eat the skin as well, just like a kumquat.
You could just pop, rub the dirt off of it and pop it in your mouth as you're walking through the garden.
Well, exactly.
Kumquats, only the outsides are good. Yeah. I shudder when I eat a kumquat.
You don't like the
It's too
flesh.
Sour for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can eat the skin. The skin's almost sweet compared to the interior. So
no, they're a little more compact plants as well.
They are definitely more compact. They can get a little bit leggy. It's good to tip some of the branches back a little bit, just to keep the tree a little more dense as well.
Have you noticed a big problem with leaf miner on those? Or I can't recall seeing a big problem with it in the past, but that's just my anecdotal perception.
I definitely am getting some leaf miner on mine.
On yours?
I just walked through our citrus yesterday, and I noticed that my kumquat, and I only have one, does not have any citrus leaf miner, as opposed to some of the other trees that are really, inundated.
Yeah, it was really late this year for me, but they made up for it.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
Big time.
Yeah. What else? What other citrus coming in?
We're getting a lot of true dwarf citrus right now, limes and lemons, and then there's some oranges and even some mandarins as well. These are on the Flying Dragon root stock, which is the only true full dwarfing citrus root stock.
And by true dwarf, what's the maximum height on most of those, roughly?
Four to 8 feet.
Oh, so really short.
Yes.
Yeah, because we usually tell people that what we used to call dwarf citrus is technically semi-dwarf citrus, and we tell people 10 to 12 on
depending
that.
Eight to 12,
I would say, right, depending on the cultivar, whereas standard citrus will go 20, 25, yep, if you let it go.
What kind of
Just to be clear with that, though, proportionally, they bear roughly the same amount of fruit. So
for their size.
Yeah. So like an eight foot semi-dwarf tree is going to produce the same amount as an 8 foot standard tree, or a 4 foot true dwarf will produce about the same amount as a 4 foot semi-dwarf.
So the mature. Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, you mentioned limes. What are we getting, both Mexican and bears in true dwarf?
Yes. Both are available right now in true dwarf.
That's nice.
Yeah. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it, flying dragon rootstock, it's really more of an ornamental citrus. Has huge spurs on it. I mean, actually,
it's mostly spurs. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago with John.
Very little foliage to it at all. Really neat plant. Just on its own, as an ornamental standpoint, it's something you don't see very often. And these true dwarf trees have not been available, as far as I know, since Monrovia stopped growing true dwarf citrus, which was way before the pandemic. So it's a treat to have some of those in stock.
Oh yeah, we do have a lot of folks that are really looking for the smaller trees. What else?
We're also getting red finger limes as well, both semi-dwarf and standard.
Oh, very nice. I love finger limes. I think that's one of the neatest citrus that's been introduced. Actually, it's one of the only citrus that's been introduced in quite a while. So
I think we touched on this before, that when we went up to the UC Riverside, not the time you and I went, Adams, but a time prior with Brian, we got an opportunity to walk through the many different varieties. I had no idea there were so many different varieties of finger limes. But, you know, because we typically sell the green one.
They produce like crazy, too.
They do. And they seem to be resistant to HLB.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of research going on into the resistance of the finger limes to HLB and being able to tap that as a resource to control it in other crops as well.
Go ahead. I was going to say, they're thorny, very thorny, the Australian finger limes. And they're near the thorny area of our yard. The ugly part we talked about. I have Kai apples and jujubes all on that side,
because
they're really spiky.
Yeah, they are thorny. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with George Allman and our special guest, Adams Bruder. We're going to be back with more right after this break, so don't go anywhere.
There is more Garden Talk on the way.
Life takes a toll on our bodies. No way around it. Whether it's sitting hours on end at your computer or working a physical job, over time your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain: Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. The difference? Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good. And it's 100% drug-free. If the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as so many others have. Turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. When you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. So visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95. While we can't stop aging, not yet, we can stop pain. Turn back the clock with Relief Factor.
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with George Allman and our special guest, Adams Bruder, from our staff here at the Poway store. And he's also, as we mentioned, he's the one that orders all of our citrus and all of our bare root fruit trees as well. We were talking about the citrus before the break. We had mentioned the true dwarf citrus that's now in stock, which is a pretty rare thing, but we're happy to have them. And anything else in citrus that you want to highlight?
I'd say the one other item we've been able to get that we hadn't had in a couple of years are yuzus.
It has been a while. They were very popular when we had them. And for folks that aren't familiar with it, yuzus, Japanese citrus, very, very sour, more along the lines of a lime, I would say.
Yeah, they're definitely quite sour. They are only available in larger sizes right now. I haven't seen any smaller ones available, but we've been able to get both semi-dwarf and standard.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, that's a neat that is a neat plant. Have Calamundins become available, or are they still in short supply?
We are definitely getting Calamundins as well, both variegated and the regular.
That's a really nice patio tree. It doesn't get real big. You can grow it in a container. Yep. Produces like crazy. It's actually a lime, but they're really small. They're smaller than a golf ball. I mean, they're
roughly ping pong ball. There we go.
Ping pong ball. Incredibly sour. My son Blake, we had one for a long time out on our patio, and when it was producing, he would go over and just pull those things off and pop them into his mouth and eat them. But they are really sour. But he really liked them.
I don't know. My son Micah would go out and sit underneath the Meyer lemon tree and just peel them and eat the Meyers just sitting underneath it as a kid, and I would get the puckered face watching him, not understanding why he would do that.
That would be a lot.
It's a lot. And I'm not talking one. He would like I go out and eat 3-4 apples. He sits and eats 3 or 4 lemons.
That's funny.
Calamondins are also make really great marmalade as well.
That's what most people use them for, from what I recall. Calamundins and the regular kumquats. People make marmalade out of the kumquats as well.
They were also put in beer.
Really?
In the Philippines.
Yeah. And the calamundins?
Yeah.
Oh, I never heard of that before. I'm surprised that nobody's doing that in San Diego.
I don't know.
If any of the brewers of the local breweries are listening, you might want to.
Probably do, and we just don't know about it.
You might want to look into that. So, it could be. There is a lot of beer that's produced in San Diego that I am not familiar with. Well,
they're not put in. It's just like a squeeze, like a lemon lime, a lemon slice.
I thought it was part of the brewing process.
Just in the bottle.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not part of the brewing.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. That I will try.
Yeah. What else? What other citrus, or is that it?
That's the most exciting citrus I think we're receiving right now. But we still have a good selection. Even some of the more common varieties that we haven't been able to regularly stock, we've been able to get back in again as well.
What's nice about getting the new inventory of citrus is it's coming from a nursery where it's been, cared for very well, and it gets here and it doesn't have citrus leaf miner.
Yeah.
Anything that's been out in the open for 3 or 4 months, no matter how well you take care of it, I mean, unless you're constantly spraying or using systemics, you end up with citrus leaf miner and they start to look a little, ragged.
They get a little ragged looking. Right. Yeah. It's a difficult one to control, although it should be tapering off now that it's starting to get cold.
About November.
Yeah. And then I was telling you yesterday when we were prepping for the show, and can't remember if I left it in the notes or not, but down in Brazil, they were doing experiments on the citrus orchards in Brazil, where they were going through and top cutting the trees that are around the perimeter of the orchards to encourage them to send out a big flush of new growth in hopes that any migrating psyllids would land on the outside trees first and prevent them from going deeper into the orchards, or at least reduce the number that actually get into the orchards. And I thought that was an interesting concept. I don't know how well it's working for them, but and unfortunately, most people in San Diego County don't have a perimeter of citrus around their other citrus that they do that to experiment
and
with.
And if they do, they're probably commercial groves, and they're taking all the other precautions.
Yes, that is correct. And and for those of you that don't know. And this has nothing to do with us, obviously, but if you're into organic produce and you want to grow your own, any citrus trees that you purchase in Southern California at this point, and probably even far, probably about 2/3 of the state,
probably the whole state, I would imagine,
has to be treated with a non-organic pesticide,
systemic,
right. before it leaves the nursery or is transported. And if you look, if you're going through a nursery looking at citrus, you'll see the CDFA tags on it certifying that it has been treated. So the trees as you buy them are not organic. That doesn't mean that you can't turn them organic through your care and culture of them, but just be aware that if you're an ardent
organic grower and organic looking for organic citrus, yeah, you're not going to find it.
That you're not going to find it.
And if you are finding it, it's being sold illegally.
Yeah, it is not something
that somebody's selling it from their backyard somewhere, which is illegal.
Yeah, not something that you want to do right now. But like I said, you can convert it to organic. It's you just have to start with the program and stick with it. And I can't remember what the time frame is.
I thought it was 3 years of organic growing.
Right. Yeah.
But that's if you're trying to earn a certification.
Yeah. But on the other hand, though, too, if you bring in the citrus tree, it's not going to contaminate your organic garden. So you don't have to worry about that. No. It's just going to be standalone. It's not going to be organic. So just start maintaining it in an organic manner. So you were the one that, Adams, you were the one that put together our fruit tree list for this year. And everything's coming from Dave Wilson this year, because I think Ellie Cook is finally completely gone.
Yes, they are gone. So we are not getting sleeves from Ellie Cook this year. So it will be all Dave Wilson as far as the deciduous fruit trees go.
We have a very good selection coming in as we usually do.
And Ken, you had mentioned that you can see that on our website under plant lists.
Yeah,
under 2025 fruit tree, bare root fruit tree. But I would just caution that that's what we ordered. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to be supplied.
And we've already started seeing some of that. Things that either haven't come in or haven't come in yet, or being shorted. That's all going to start to flesh out now as we get closer to the actual ship date. Highlights any new things that we have coming in that you'd want to tell people about?
Yeah, we have a few exciting new varieties. There's a couple of columnar apple trees, the North Pole and the Scarlet Sentinel. These grow pretty much vertically, only about 4 or 5 feet wide, but they grow straight up. So they're a great option for saving space, also for containers. They are rated at 800 chill hours. However, they were tested in Irvine and have produced regular crops for many years.
Monrovia Nursery used to sell columnar apples probably about 15, maybe 20 years ago. They were selling them, and it's a neat tree. I mean,
it is. I was in upstate New York back in February and looked at all these trees that were all the columnar trees that they're growing on to save space. They're putting a lot more trees in a smaller space, and they're columnar and they're pruned in a really neat manner.
Yeah,
it is a great idea. They are higher chill, but apples are very adaptable.
Yeah,
here in Poway, Capri and I have had Macowans that are producing, and some high. We have an espalier that's a higher chill espalier with 600, 700, 800 hour chills, and we're getting apples off of those. So you know, much more adaptable.
It's funny you talk about planting for space. When my dad and I, we'd been a couple of trips down to New Zealand, they grow a lot of apples in New Zealand. And every time we passed an apple orchard, it was trellised like a vineyard.
Yeah.
And just rows and rows of apple trees. And they're all down where you can pick them without getting on a ladder.
They must not have rodents there.
maybe not, but very, very easy to access. Just beautiful, but it looked like a vineyard, but it was apples just as far as you could see. And they were just loaded. Really, really neat. Really, really neat process that they use down there. Well,
every time we get something new on the list, particularly apples, because I grew up with the apple orchard back east, I always want to add more, but we have like 16 varieties now. And the water starts becoming the limiting factor. Yeah.
Limiting factor. What else have we got coming in, Adams?
We're also going to get some Honeycrisp apples as well. Those also very high chill. There are some reports of people getting some crops off of them, even in low chill. From what I understand, the flavor is there, the texture is there, but they don't necessarily get a very heavy crop. But because it's such a popular variety, a lot of times people want to experiment with it and see what they can do with it.
You never know. And like we've said before, the chill hours it's a guideline. It's not a hard and fast rule.
And I often joke that apples are much different than apricots. You know, if an apple's a 300 and you get 280, the apple's going to give you apples. An apricot that's 300, get 299, it would say, oh, so close. Maybe next year.
Well, that's like, Does Anna even have a chill rating on it? That thing produces almost all year round.
It's what, 150 or 200?
It does have a rating, yeah. But they can absolutely still produce even with zero chill.
If you want a foolproof apple, I would consider an Anna, which is actually a really good apple too.
Anna, Dorset, Golden, Beverly Hills are really good foolproof low chill, and in Chimere.
Yeah, and the Dorset Golden, I believe, actually originated in the Bahamas, so it is very low chill.
Oh, really? I don't think I knew that.
It did. And Chimere is an Israeli, and
Anna's also an Israeli.
Those two are Israeli. Yep. Yeah, I knew that. I remember when those two were. I remember when those two were introduced longer ago than I care to admit. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with George Allman, our special guest, Adams Bruder from our Poway store. We're talking about bare root fruit trees, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
There is more Garden Talk on the way.
So here during the month of December, it's Big Wave Dave. Hi, the Answer San Diego family. Of course, during the month of December, we celebrate the birth of Jesus and Christmas time, and wishing you a very Merry Christmas to you and your family. And you know, it's a special December this last month of 2024 as well as Christmas time, because we as the Answer San Diego family have the opportunity to rescue children from human trafficking. Now, Jesus, born in Bethlehem in that stable for you and I, and buying ultimately our freedom, purchasing our freedom on that cross in the empty tomb. Well, the sweet thing about what we're doing this Christmas time with His Feet International is rescuing, freeing, purchasing the freedom of a girl that has been bought 25, 30 times a day. We stop that. All the problems we can't solve, this is one we can, with a one-time gift of $160, cares for one girl. How many girls will you help rescue? At 866-248-0902, 866-248-0902, the His Feet banner at theanswersandiego.com, little girls as young as 8 being sent free. And ultimately, they too will have an opportunity to invite Jesus, the one who purchased their freedom, as He did ours. 866-248-0902, theanswersandiego.com. And what a Christmas! You rescue a girl from forced modern-day slavery.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel, home to the biggest shows on TV, like Hugh Hewitt weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, followed by Mike Gallagher at 9. Join SMC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
Andrea Kay calling out the libs on a nightly basis.
Please stop pretending that you care about this country.
Weeknights at 6 on The Answer San Diego. Streaming at theanswersandiego.com.
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with George Allman. And our special guest today, Adams Bruder, who's our fruit tree buyer at our Poway store. And we're talking about, already went over this, the citrus that's now available, some of the new things that are coming in. And we're talking about our season 4 bare root fruit trees. If you want to check out what we're going to be getting in, you can email or you can check out our website, walteranderson.com. Go to plant lists and click on fruit trees, and you will see what we have on order.
That's the 2025
fruit tree list. You'll see what we have on order, not guaranteeing we are going to get it. But you'll see what's going to be coming in. If you want to email the show, you can email us at gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com. We would be more than happy to answer any questions you have, listen to any suggestions. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover, just drop us a line and let us know. We would be happy to do that.
Any guest suggestions.
Or any guest suggestions. If there's people you'd like to hear us talk to, let us know. You can also find our page on Facebook at Garden Talk Radio by Walter Anderson Nursery, and we keep that up to date as well. So, Adams, welcome back to the show. We've been talking about the bare root stuff that's coming in. Did we cover all the new things that we have coming in? Or?
There's still several other new varieties we're getting, such as we're getting a white apricot variety.
A white apricot?
Yes.
I have not heard of that before.
It's called White Knockout. It's supposed to be a really, really good sweet variety. I actually planted one last year. It's a little higher in the chill. It's rated at 400 to 600.
Yeah, but you get that by December.
I get that every year. But anywhere that's even a colder spot in Poway, it'll still do fine as well.
Oh, very nice. And it's actually white.
Yes, it is a white flesh. Like the cotton candy apriums are white flesh. So it would be white flesh similar to that.
Oh, okay.
Or like a Snow Queen nectarine.
Okay.
Spicy nectarine.
Yeah, I didn't know that existed. Yeah. It's interesting. I'll be curious to see. Now, one of the things about apricots that we caution people about is that even on some of the lower chill varieties, they can be
touchy,
temperamental as far as production is concerned. Have you noticed that with this one as well, or is it like most apricots where you're never sure exactly what it's going to do, or is it fairly predictable?
I haven't had the chance to find out yet. I planted a small sleeve just last year.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it will be hopefully producing next year, maybe this year.
Okay.
Hopefully next.
Well, we'll have to be curious to hear about that. What else have we got coming in?
We've also got a brand new Pluary variety. It's not even named yet.
Oh,
so
like the old...
we know very little about it other than it's supposed to be less than 500 hours and it's supposed to be good. But
does it need a pollinator?
It does need a pollinizer. Okay. Yes. Any of the other Pluaries should work for pollinizing.
And for those of you that don't know what a Pluary is, it's a hybrid between, plum and a cherry,
and we have two of them, and I love them.
How big is the fruit on them? Is it like cherry sized fruit,
or
is
it large? It's like a plum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just it's touch smaller than a well. Depends on the plum, obviously, and how well the Karen culture, but bigger than a golf ball, smaller than a baseball.
I have two varieties of the Pluaries now, the Candy Heart and the Flavor Punch. I got my first excellent crop off of the Candy Heart this year, and it's phenomenal. I just planted the Flavor Punch last year bare root, but it gave me one fruit, and that's one of my top favorite fruits now.
Really? What's the flavor profile like?
It's very sweet, but it's full of flavor. It's got kind of the sweetness of a cherry, but it's got more of the flavor of a plum.
And the flesh is more like a plum.
Yes, it's a bright yellow orange fruit. It's a very, very attractive fruit as well.
That's
interesting. We have a Candy Heart and a Sweet Treat. And
yeah, I've never tried.
I'll
one.
Bring you some next year. Well, Adams will bring you some next year too.
What else you got on the list, Adams?
We're also gonna be getting some of the Bartlett pears. They are rated at 500 to 600 chill hours, but there's a lot of reports of them fruiting fairly well down to about 400. They're probably the most asked for pear that I found last year. So we're going to bring some of those in as well. I would still recommend it for a cooler spot.
Cooler area.
But, I think Poway or East would be fine for them.
Do we still bring in, Beurre d'Anjou pears or not?
No, we don't have those.
That was about the only pear that we could get years ago, and we used to bring them in. But I think that's a fairly high chill hour pear.
You know, maybe we should step back because we've talked about that's a high chill, that's a low chill number. You know, 500 hours. What is chill? We should probably touch on that for people that don't know.
Well, it's hours below 45 degrees.
It's hours below 45 from 1 November to 1 March.
Yeah,
cumulative, and. There are different models, but the basic model is that there's a Utah model and some others, but, and deciduous fruit trees require those or that many hour, depending on the tree in order to flower and produce fruit.
Yeah. And like we said, it's a guideline. It's an estimate or a guideline. It's not written in stone.
And there are stations from the University of California throughout the state that you can look at. It's, you know, they might not be directly in your area.
Yeah. And, you know, even throughout San Diego, there's a lot of microclimates all over the city. And I can tell you, I live up kind of on a hillside. And I can tell you that at the bottom of the hill, the street at the bottom of the hill, they get a lot colder than we do.
Well, Adam's
just
can
a,
talk
a
to
couple
you about
blocks
that,
away
because he has a slope.
Yep, I have a gentle slope. It's only about a 25-foot elevation change over a few hundred feet, but at the bottom it averages about 4 degrees colder at night. But I've seen up to a 12-degree difference.
Really?
Just in a few hundred feet there.
That's a huge shift.
That is a big shift.
Well, because hot air rises,
hotter and
colder,
it drains down in the colder parts.
I average just a little under 500 chill hours up toward the warmer part of the yard, but I average around 700 chill hours at the bottom. And 2 years ago, I got over 900 chill hours.
Wow.
And so that's something that, as in your own backyard, there are microclimates, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you just alluded to yours.
If your yard's big enough.
Yeah. And well, even your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood, yeah.
So often people will come to the nursery and you say, well, where do you live? And they say, oh, it's just like here. And I say, well, there's nowhere just like here except here. Because, you know, things change, right? So
different.
His yard's a good example. And that can be part of planning your orchard, right?
Absolutely. That's a big part of it. If you're on a slope, plant toward the bottom of the slope. But if the ground continues to slope away below your property, if you plant above a building or a tool shed or even the house, that will collect the cold air behind it. And so just above a large structure that prevents that cold air from draining will probably be the coldest spot in the yard.
And so that's useful for accumulating chill hours. Conversely, if I'm growing citrus or guavas or something, I might want to put them a little higher in the yard, right?
Exactly. I have my passion fruit and guavas up toward the top where it still gets below freezing, but it's not like the bottom.
You know, it's funny you talk about the shadowing and things like that. You know, obviously, growing up in the business and doing this for a long time, I was always aware of that, but I never really noticed it that much until this was a long time ago. I think it was in college. We were playing golf one winter at Mission Bay Golf Course at night because they used to light the course at night. And it was really cold that night that we were playing, and I hit a ball off the fairway under some trees and walked down the fairway and walked under the trees. And as soon as I walked under the trees, just the canopy of the tree probably made, it felt like between a 3 and 5 degree difference in the temperature. It was noticeably warmer under the trees than it was outside. And it's just something that simple.
Those microclimates in your yard can make a big difference in growing conditions. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we talk about that just with sun exposure and everything else too. So there's a lot of variation in it.
That's a great segue.
Yeah.
Because Adam's taught a class recently on planning your backyard orchard culture, you know, or backyard orchard and in preparation for bare root season.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Now's the time to start thinking about it.
So what are some of the considerations if I planned on putting a new orchard or adding some trees to my yard? And it's not just I'm going to put two apple trees. I have a mix. I have some tropical fruit trees. I have some, you know, avocados, guavas, oranges, and I want to put some deciduous fruit trees. What would I consider?
But besides just the chill, consider the sun. You want to make sure you get at least 6 hours of full sun. That's one of the things you don't necessarily have the most control over if your neighbors have big trees or you have an area on the north side of your house. But full sun is critical. Another important factor is your soil. You want to make sure you have good draining soil. If your soil does not drain well, you want to improve that soil or plant on a raised bed or a mound. You can even use just a raised bed and make a 4x4 area, raise that up, plant in that, and that will help that drainage away from the crown of the tree.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I fight in Scripps Ranch a lot, a lot of my neighbors do too, is the soil is terrible. I mean, it's about as bad as you can get in San Diego.
What's my normal response to people when they tell me that you don't understand, I have really bad soil? I said, you're not special. Everybody here has really bad soil. Yeah.
But speaking of soil, we can talk a little bit about the different rootstocks that the stuff comes in on.
Correct. First off, what is a rootstock?
The rootstock is a variety of tree that the variety you want is grafted onto. And so the roots are going to give you characteristics to help the tree in some way, whether it's disease resistance or tolerance of wet soils. whereas the variety on top is what's going to give you the most flavorful fruit. And as for deciduous fruit trees, citation rootstock is very common for anything in peaches, plums, apricots. That's a semi-dwarfing rootstock that is much better for lower drainage soils. I still would want decent drainage. It doesn't want to be sitting in water, but it does tolerate poor drainage.
Is that more of a surface root one or a deeper root?
It's got some surface and some deeper roots, but it tolerates that wetter soil. Nema Guard, for instance, will not tolerate that wetter soil. It's also a full-sized rootstock as well. Myro 29C, another rootstock that's becoming more popular as a full-sized rootstock, is a very shallow-rooted rootstock, but it also is very vigorous. So again, it gives you good tolerance to those wetter soils.
What's Myro typically used for also?
George, we need to take a break, so hold on to that question. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
There is more Garden Talk on the way.
If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their 3-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number for relief. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with George Allman and our special guest today, Adam Schroeder, who's our fruit tree buyer at our Poway store. And we were talking about the fruit trees that are coming in, talking about the different rootstocks that they are on and how to plan according to the temperatures that you have in your yard and the sun exposure and things like that. And then we were continuing our discussion on rootstocks, and you brought up what was the rootstock that we just...
Myro 29C.
And I was just curious, I mean, I know what it's on, but I thought we'd answer, what is it typically used for?
I see it mostly on plums, pluots, pluaries, although it's still compatible with some of the others, but mostly the plums, pluots, and pluaries.
If you had your choice, given, just a neutral soil profile where you can plant anything, what rootstock would you prefer?
I like Myro 29C and Nema Guard.
I like
the vigor out of
those. Nema Guard is an incredible difference in growth patterns and how quickly that tree matures.
It's also resistant to nematodes.
And it is also resistant to nematodes. Yeah. Interestingly, that's by all, the name, perhaps.
It was a wild guess on my part.
I ordered some Lovell rootstocks for myself and did some grafting on those. I want to see how Lovell does. It can be susceptible to nematodes in sandier soils. There are a few varieties we are getting on Lovell this year as well, but it's also a very hardy rootstock that's good on heavier soils.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ken. I was going to say, how many fruit trees do you actually have?
I'm up to about 70 right now.
That's a lot.
I'm always adding more.
Any particular genre of deciduous fruit trees that you like more than others?
I'm really becoming more and more of a fan of the different pluots and pluary varieties. I think they seem to be a little bit less popular right now, but I've really been loving those off. Out of my orchard, especially Splash Pluot. That's another one of my favorite varieties.
When we were up in Palo Alto, we went to the farmers market.
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
And there were a number of growers up there that were growing intergenerics like fluots and things like that. And they were given, obviously giving samples, and we actually bought a bunch and brought them home with us. They were incredibly good. If you haven't tried any of those crosses like that, I would highly encourage you to.
I know where you can get some trees, Ken, and you don't have to go anywhere else to get them. You can walk in your backyard.
Yeah, that is true. You can grow your own.
So, and if you're going to grow your own, we can get back to Adams on the caring. I mean, the planning.
I will also mention that almost all of the pluot varieties do require a pollinizer. The one exception is that we're bringing is Plum Parfait. It will still produce better with a pollinizer. And any other pluot that blooms at the same time, or any other plum that blooms at the same time, will pollinate those.
That's what I was going to say. You don't, if it needs a pollinizer, that doesn't mean that every tree needs its own pollinizer. You
correct.
Just need trees in your
correct
group of trees or your neighbor's yard that are blooming at the same time so that they can get the cross pollinization.
Right. And generally you want the trees to be within about 100 feet of the trees you want to pollinate. Okay. Closer is better, but within 100 feet, you'll usually have adequate pollination.
Well, that's with that one pair of cherries that we get in where we actually sell them.
Correct. The mini royal and royal lee, which require pollination from each other.
Yeah.
And royal crimson will pollinate them as well, but it's not typically, you know, added in the same pot.
Not the same
correct
one.
Usually with those mini royals and royal lees, I'll mention the bloom sequence doesn't often line up for the first few years of their
correct
growth.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they'll still usually be off a little bit, but it will line up more as the trees age.
So you were talking about being within 100 feet. That brings me to a question. When people are planting their orchard, a lot of people, when they think of putting in an orchard, they think of driving up the 5 and seeing commercial, you know, yards where tractors can buy and shake the trees or whatever to get their fruit. We're not looking for that in the backyard. So how close can I plant my trees in the backyard?
You can plant them almost as close as you want. Even up to 18 inches apart. I still prefer a little bit more space just so you can access between the trees. Make sure one's not crowding out the other. Make sure you keep them pruned apart, but you can plant them up as close as 18 inches. And you can plant up to four trees together in a square that close.
That's tight. That's a lot of fruit that's going to be coming off that in the years to come.
I have heard, and I would assume that you would support this. If I'm going to plant 4 in the same hole or in the same space, I want them to be on the same rootstock.
That is best, ideally. If you do need to plant them on different rootstocks, put the one with the most vigorous rootstock on the north side. Also consider the more vigorous varieties, put those on the north side. If a variety blooms earlier than the others, also put that on the north side so it doesn't send out leaves and shade out the varieties.
And so if you want, if you want to learn more about that, the Dave Wilson website has a really good page on intensive planting that talks about planting multiple trees.
Also in our How to Prune Fruit Trees and Roses book, there's a section in there on backyard orchard culture from Tom Spellman from Dave Wilson.
He's the one that wrote that, I believe, as well.
Yeah, yep. he was very generous and allowed us to publish that in the book. So if you'd like to get a copy of that, you can pick that up in either of our stores, or you can also order it online through our website. And we'll be happy to send you a copy of it. And that covers pretty much all the, just about any kind of fruit tree that you can imagine is in that book. And like I said, the backyard orchard tips as well. One of the other things that Tom says that he has mentioned in when you're planting backyard orchards is to prune is to top the trees to keep the branching lower.
Absolutely. That's a great way to go. Don't consider if it's a dwarfing or semi-dwarfing rootstock. You can still keep, as far as the deciduous trees, you can still keep those pruned down smaller. I would pick your rootstock based on its disease resistance characteristics or resistance to nematodes if you have an issue with that, or the heavier soils versus how much it dwarfs your trees. Because even the smaller rootstocks on the deciduous trees will still often create 15-foot tall trees. And so base it on those other characteristics instead.
And we do have a lot of customers that come in and they'll look at a fruit tree and before they even purchase it, one of the first questions they ask is, how big will this get?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't comprehend when we say, whatever you want.
Just,
you know, you can cut it to whatever size. No, how big will it get? Well, yeah. Here's the tag.
Yeah.
And you can whatever size you want.
Yeah. But by the other thing you gain by pruning them lower like that, though, too, is it's much simpler.
It's much easier for the coyotes to steal your fruit.
But it's also easier for you to maintain.
It is.
Easier to spray, easier to prune, and easier to harvest. You don't have to drag a ladder out there to get
Fully
all the
agree.
Fruit off of it.
Agree.
And I've always thought the easier you can make things, the happier you're going to be with it, the more you're going to do it, and the more successful you're going to be. So those are all great things to consider if you're thinking about planting some fruit trees in your backyard.
So speaking of planting in your backyard, yeah. And back to, you know, the planting the trees, how do you plant your trees as far as digging a hole and amending, et cetera?
As far as digging the hole, I dig a shallow hole. I dig a very wide hole. Even with the bare roots, when their root systems are small, I dig about 3 feet wide, maybe a little bit more. I also usually dig a square hole when I plant. I make sure I loosen the sides of the hole as well. I tend to mound up the soil as well for that full 3 to 4 foot wide area. Even though I have well-drained soil, I found the trees I plant at grade don't do quite as well as the trees that are mounded up just a few inches above grade.
Well, that's another thing to bear in mind, too, when you're planting fruit. Well, you're planting just about everything except for tomatoes. You don't want to bury them deeper in the ground. You want the top roots of the root ball just below the surface of the soil. You don't want to mound soil up around the trunk of the trunk of any plants that you're planting. It stays too wet, and it rots that outer layer of bark off. And once that cambium layer is gone, then that's the vascular system for the plant is destroyed, and you're not going to be able to bring it back. It's too late at that point. So don't bury things deeper. And when you say mound, you mean raise the whole thing up and then terraform around it rather than just mounding soil up against the soil.
Exactly.
Against the trunk.
Exactly. I'm raising the level that I'm planting that tree. The roots are actually above the highest roots are actually above the existing grade by a couple of inches. But then I bury the uppermost root by about 1 inch in soil.
That sounds just about perfect.
And now I know we've talked about this, you and I, about amending. You know, we talk about the new science saying you just throw it in the native soil, but have a thick layer of mulch. You're still a proponent of adding a little bit of soil. A little bit of an amendment of some sort.
I do like adding amendment. I do have a little bit of a sandier soil. I like adding the amendment. My thoughts on that is if you're adding the mulch, that mulch is going to break down and be amending your soil. Mm-hmm. You're just cutting the time that takes down a little bit by amending. Also, there's
makes sense.
Also, there's no transition zone. If you bought a potted tree, for instance, there's no. It creates a transition zone between the potting soil and your native soil. If you amend the soil in between,
do you fertilize when you plant?
I do add a little bit of fertilizer when I plant. Bare roots, I don't add a whole lot when I plant. Other trees I do, but when I do add the fertilizer, I don't add it right at the roots. I add it in the periphery of the hole, usually.
So
since
it can grow into it.
Exactly. Right. Since it's 3 feet wide, I put it around the outside of where right. the roots are.
And you are still a very big proponent of mulch.
Absolutely. Mulch saves a lot of water, a lot of effort, weeding as well.
I need to get better at it.
We talk about every whoever sits in here. We talk about mulch. That's I think your normal response. I need to get better.
I need to get better at it. I need to.
You're welcome
practice.
To swing by our house where we still have two big, 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 big piles of mulch. You can steal some.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We've been talking to Adams Bruder from our Poway store. He's our fruit tree buyer. If you have any questions, you can reach Adams at our Poway store at 858-513-4900. Adams, thank you very much for joining us for the show today. We appreciate the insight that you have and what we have coming in.
Thank you very much, George. Thank you, Ken. And it's going to be an exciting bare root season this year.
I think so.
Always. It's the best time of the gardening year, in my opinion.
It's my favorite time of year here at the nursery.
It's better
Absolutely.
Than Christmas.
Yeah. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticultural news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew? Or want to learn more about the show or how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com. That's gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com. Or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at the same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.